Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Well, today is a good day because it's Sunday. Praise the Lord. I like Sundays. I like to get a chance to come and share with what the Lord has been putting on my heart. Praise the Lord. I it's very important that we do that. It's important that we receive what God has for us and that we see what God has for us. But you know, God has put a lot of things, a lot of promises in His Word. And you know, we talk about the promises a lot. And as a pastor, a lot of times I get to deal with people and people who have come in. And a lot of times people come into church and they're broken, they're hurting, they're lost. They don't know what to do. Praise the Lord. But see, God has a plan for all of those people, and I know that. And how do I know that? I know that because I have a testimony myself. I know that because the Lord brought me from a place that was really bad, and He brought me to a place that is oh so good. Hallelujah. And I've seen what the Lord has done in my life. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, oftentimes people say, well, you got to say this kind of stuff. You're a pastor. But people don't understand I'm a pastor because this stuff is true. The reason I serve God with all my heart, with everything that's in me, the reason that I do everything that I know to do to serve my God is because I've seen the power of God in my own life. I have seen the Lord change my life. I've seen it, and those around me have seen the Lord change my life in dramatic ways, praise the Lord. And I'm just so excited about it. I'm excited to get to come and preach the Word, but also today is a very special day because we're sharing testimonies, specific testimonies of people in this church whose lives have been changed. Now, I want to throw this out there for you just so you know. The testimonies we're going to share today, they don't even encompass all the testimonies. But there are some really good ones, and not that there wasn't other really good ones. There was other really good ones. These are just the first ones that we happen to get. What do we have, 9 today? We have 9 specific testimonies. And these are things, you know, that it is amazing, absolutely amazing, the things that we're going to get into, what God has done, what God is doing. And the reason that we share this is oftentimes, you know, I can give a testimony or know a testimony, and you can know a testimony. You can talk to your neighbor and say, hey, you know, what happened to them was great. But it's something else when we start looking at it all together, because all of a sudden, when you start looking at the abundance of what God does, it starts putting you in a place where you understand that it's more than a coincidence. You start understanding that when you see people who actually connect to the Word of God, who actually connect to their church, when they actually connect to what God's doing. Listen, like we live, you know, a lot of people live life out there, and sometimes they live good lives and pretty decent lives, but God always has a better life. He always has more for us. He always has greater things for us, because God was never okay with us just being down here. Yeah. So you can even say it this way, that even if you came in and you say, hey, my life has been good, real good. Hallelujah. If you said my life has been real good, if my life has just been so great, God will make it better. Yeah. You won't believe it, but God, or you might not believe it, but God can make it better. Amen. And the reason that God can make it better is because that's what God is. He's a better God. He's a betterer God. Hallelujah. He'll better you. He'll better me. He'll keep bettering us all together. Hallelujah. Until we're so much better that everybody's looking at us and saying, why are they better than me? Praise the Lord. You know, it's a joke, hallelujah, but we got to throw in a little humor there. Praise God, hallelujah. But we're excited for what God's doing in Mayville. Of course, we don't plant churches for no reason. You know, we don't plant churches just to have something to do on Sunday mornings. We don't plant churches to have something to do on Saturday nights. God knows we don't need more stuff to do. Amen. But we plant churches because we know that when we plant churches and we teach the Word, that it will change people's lives. I said it will change people's lives, praise the Lord. It's not going to change everybody's life. It's going to change the lives that connect to it. It's going to change the lives that hook up to it. And see, we all have choices in life, and I had choices. I had lots of choices. I could keep going and living the way I was going to live, which was leading to death, or I could start living the life that God intended me to live and be blessed, hallelujah. And that's exactly where we're at today. Well, glory to God, hallelujah. We're going to start in John 10:10. This is a good scripture. If every Christian really had the truth of this scripture, then there wouldn't be a lot of the other questions that you have. Because this always points you, this scripture right here points you exactly to the heart of the Father, to the heart of Jesus, exactly what He did, what He wanted for you, what He has for you, glory to God. This starts it all off right here. This is kickstarts it right here. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. It says the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. The first thing we have to understand, God does not steal, God does not kill, and God does not destroy. Now see, some people think that when people die that God took them, but that's not the truth. It's not the truth according to the Word, because God doesn't take nobody. Why doesn't God take anybody? Because he doesn't kill. He's not a thief. He doesn't destroy. He is not your enemy. The thief comes. Now, we know through Scripture, if you read Scripture, you'll know this too, but we know through Scripture that there is a devil that wants to attack you. There is a devil. And why does when we talk about sin in church, and I know, sin isn't a real popular word today. People don't love the word sin, but when we talk about sin, we aren't talking about it because people are bad and we just want to point out what bad people are doing. No, it's nothing to do with that. What we're talking about is because the truth of the word, the Bible tells us that sin causes death. The thief always convinces people to get into sin. And sin will eventually always cause death. The Bible also tells us that sin for a time is enjoyable. It is enjoyable for a time. But when you start reaping the benefits of the sin, you know that it's not so much enjoyable anymore. Talk to somebody, you talk to somebody who has got cancer from something that is sinful, or they have gotten addicted to something that is sinful. Talk to somebody like that, somebody who's trying to get free from those things, and ask them if it's still enjoyable. See, sin, God talks about sin. The Bible talks about sin. The church talks about sin because it destroys the flesh. It hurts humans. Yeah. And that's what God doesn't want. He wants us to live. Look at what Jesus said. He said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus wanted an abundant life. He wasn't good with you being defeated. He wasn't good with you being hurt. He wasn't good with you being sad. Jesus said, I'm going to come, pay the price so you don't have to live there anymore. And what a shame. What a shame that so much of the world still lives and kill and destroy. They have things stolen from them. Now, I'm not saying that walking a Christian walk is going to... I done preached this off again. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that walking a Christian walk is going to just make you never have to deal with trial again. But what I am saying is it always gives us a way out. Because God said we never let us be tempted beyond what we're able. He would never let trial come against us that would take us out. He said, I always give you a way out. God is always giving... Because you got an enemy, but I defeated that enemy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we have to understand this. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. That word life there doesn't just mean living. It doesn't just mean alive. It means life and worthy of the name life. Hallelujah. Worthy of the name life. Hallelujah. You say, I'm living, glory to God. Hallelujah. I had never lived like this before. I never knew what living was before. In my past, why do you think I stand up here and yell all the time? Because I'm so excited because of where I came from. I'm going to tell you, I lived in death. And living in death ain't no fun. Living all constantly thinking, what am I going to do? Where am I going to do? How am I going to end it? How am I going to get past it? How am I going to get rid of it? That's exactly the way I lived. But see, God had so much more for me, I didn't even know it. And all I had to do was open one of the many books I had laying around my house. It would have told me this. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory. 1 Corinthians. Why don't you turn there with me? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. See, we have to preach the word. It's important to preach the word. And when I have people come to me, I always tell them the same thing. If I sit in my office, I've sat in my office with many people. Many of you in here have sat in there with me, and I've told the same thing too. If you do what I tell you to do, if you connect to the Word of God, if you connect to a church, if you connect, and we're going to see why that's important, you connect to a pastor, if you do these things, in 1 year, you will not recognize your life. I always give it a year, because that just gives it a little extra time in case you want to do something stupid in between. Praise the Lord. But see, the truth of the matter is it doesn't even take a year, usually. I mean, I've seen people turn around in a month. I've seen whole situations turn around in a month. Why? Because God loves His people. God loves giving favor to His people. And on a day like this, a day like Father's Day, I know we have many fathers in here, many wonderful fathers, and I'm just going to ask you, is there anything you wouldn't do for your kids? Is there anything you wouldn't do for your children? Or how much more our God in heaven, who's provided the way? See, it's a travesty that this world, at some point, some religious people had got this idea that, well, you know, God gives and takes away, and God's going to remove from you, and God's going to take from you, and God will do it the way that He wants to do it. But see, that's just not the truth. what we see, and of course, we learn this. There's a lot of things. You know, I can't preach everything, every truth about God today. I wish I could, because then you would all be leaving here, running out the doors, getting more people to come in. Because, see, the truth of God is the truth. And there's so much to it. There's so much that is enveloped in it that I can't get to it all today. But we're going to get to some good stuff today. And I promise you, I know if you came for the testimonies, well, you're going to hear the testimonies. Amen? 1 Corinthians 2:1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is Paul speaking. This is the one who wrote nearly two-thirds, a little over half of the New Testament. God used him to write more than half of the New Testament. Isn't that amazing? For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, fear, and in much trembling. I'm going to tell you, I understand this scripture better than you know. There are so many times, and when you take a person who doesn't like to speak in front of people, believe it or not, I hate speaking in front of people, naturally speaking. But when you take a person like me, I mean, I was so horrified of it. That's part of the reason I even dropped out of high school. Because I was so horrified of public speaking and having to do any of this stuff. I was terrified of it. And all through my life, even the thought of praying in front of somebody made me ill. I would start churning. This is exactly what he's talking about. I would tremble. There's been times when I've been in the back office just before I come out and smile at you, and I've been back there, and I'm just like shaking inside, and I've said to the Lord, Lord, if you want it for him today, you got to put it in me, because I ain't got it, God. I ain't got it in my flesh. And see, the Bible says that I know in my flesh nothing good dwells, and that's truth. There's nothing good in my flesh, but see, I don't operate by the fact that I stand here today. Now, if you knew me 20 years ago, you would understand what I'm talking about, but the fact that I stand here today, my friends, is a sign and a wonder. The fact that I can speak without even reading notes is that the first sermon I ever preached, I read word for word verbatim as it was right in front of me holding a microphone and scared like a little puppy. I didn't know what to, this is all I knew how to do. They didn't give me any kind of training on this stuff. Yeah, sure, I had lots of kind of training in church stuff, but I didn't have any kind of training on this. Praise the Lord. I'd get me over this. Amen. But see, the thing is you can't train for what God will do. You can't train for what God's going to do sometimes. Amen? Praise the Lord. So he said, I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, God could have called out some man with a master's degree or a doctorate to come in here and to talk to you all nice-like. Praise the Lord. He could have come in here and been really, really a great orator and just speaking like wonderful words that just woo you and cause you to just want to listen. But God didn't pick that man. God bypassed that man. And God said, I'm going to go to the bottom of the barrel. I'm going to go find somebody that's foolish in the world's standards. You know, I went to high school, but I dropped out. But that's okay, because I went back and got my GED, my good enough diploma. That's in case you don't make it all the way. The first time, you can go back and get your good enough diploma. Just says, hey, what the heck, I'll just do this anyways. Praise the Lord. But I went back and got my good enough diploma. And I started, you know, just doing the things that I wanted to do. But nobody ever accused me of being anything great. Praise the Lord. And I'm not just talking down on myself. I'm not doing this. I'm just kind of giving you my testimony as I go. Amen. But God never, nobody ever accused me of doing something great. But you know, the Bible says that God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Why? Because when they say, wait a minute, Jeff is a pastor? Oh, that's weird. How can he do that? Praise the Lord. Let's say, only by the power of God. Amen. Demonstration of spirit and power. I certainly, every decision I ever made in my life was bad. Every decision I ever thought of ended in some kind of pain for me or someone else. Sometimes even death. Yeah, decisions I made caused death in other people. Decisions I made were causing death in my own life. Everything I touched failed. Everything. But see, there's something different when the power of God hooks up with a person, or when I should say when a person hooks up with the power of God, and when somebody gets that life-giving flow to them, then things start changing inside of them, things that can't be explained, and they can start saying things that they couldn't say before. They can start knowing things that they didn't know before. They can start doing things that they couldn't do before. There was days I couldn't even get up out of bed barely because I was so depressed. I didn't know what to do with myself. There was days where I couldn't even make it through a whole day without trying to think of some way to end my life again. There was days when I would put, as I've said this before, there was days where I put a shotgun in my mouth just to, because I wanted to just end the pain that was in my head. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there before, but I'm going to tell you something. When you're a person who doesn't want to die, but you'll put a gun in your mouth because you can't handle the pain that's there anymore. And that's what it was. I just wanted it to end. And I would cry out to God. I would say, God, where are you? God, why aren't you helping me? I was raised in a church after all. But see, what I was not raised with is the knowledge of the power of God. It's the power of God that will change a life. It is not man's religion. It is not man's ideas. It is not your power. It is not what you think. It is the Word of God. The Word of God will infiltrate a man. It will get inside somebody and it will start changing them. It will make them somebody that they couldn't be before. It will make them somebody they couldn't be on their own. And it will change things and make you be able to do things that you never, ever imagined you could possibly do. This is my God. This is my God. And I'm so glad that I get to talk about my God all the time now. I'm so glad that he made it my job. He said, it didn't matter what you were before. I just shared with a brother in here just before service. You know, there's a scripture that says, I am a new creation in Christ. Behold, all things have become new. All things. God didn't look at my past. He doesn't care about my past, but he says, I can use it. He says, I will use it if you let me. But see, this is the thing we have to know about God. God's will is not automatic. God isn't just orchestrating things the way he wants. He has given us a way to get into it. The only way we can access it if we decide it. If we decide we want it. The only way. I said the only way. You can't do it separate from God. You can't do it separate from his body, which is his people, which is his church. You can't do it. You can't access what God has from you aside from these things. You can't. You may get, God can bless you little bits here and there, but he can't do the fullness because he designed it to work that way. You can't do it on your own. And that's why people who aren't connected, you know, see, listen, connected means connected. And that's why we connect people. That's why we work with, we're not just trying to have a big church. See, the Bible says that he who is forgiven much loves much. I love much because I've been forgiven so much. I love much because I look at people all the time, I just can't hardly stand it to look at people and just want to embrace them, just want to give them what I know. But see, it only happens from being connected. Praise the Lord, glory to God. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's where God means for our faith to be. Now I'm going to read an account, and this is an amazing example. And I've been here in this area. We're going to read an example of Mark 5 in verse 1. We're going to start in verse 1. So go ahead and turn there while I'm saying this. But you know, there's many things that the devil has for the people of God. And one of the biggest things is the devil has, you know, I love this quote. It came from a movie. Movie probably isn't good, but the quote was really good. But he said, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. You know, and another one I would say to even add that further is to make light of hell and what hell is. Now, the reason we talk about this is because these are important aspects. God didn't ever intend his people to go to hell. God is sending no man to hell. But we are all on that path when we're born. Why? Because we were born into sin, not by God's design, but by the fallen nature of man. But Jesus came so he could bridge that gap so we didn't have to stay there. So Jesus is taking us to heaven. He wants to take us to heaven. He's saying, but see, hell is not a place. You know, some people have this idea of hell, like, well, I'll just go, you know, I don't want to be with all them Christians anyways. I'll just go live, I'll just go spend eternity in hell. You don't want to do that. If you spent 10 minutes in hell, you would do everything you could to keep anybody from ever going there because it's a terrible, horrible place. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Mark 5:1. And we see this man who is bound. And see, sometimes people are bound by depression. And you're going to see this kind of stuff. They'll be bound by depression. They'll be bound by thoughts. They'll be bound by things that are in the world. They'll be bound by actions that maybe somebody else took that they didn't have any control over. But they're bound nonetheless. And this man was bound. Now we know the story, the account of when Jesus was in the boat. We've read it in this church many times, and we talked about it. And we talked about the disciples. He said, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And they got in the boat and they were going across the other side of this big body of water. And all of a sudden there arose this storm of hurricane proportions. And the boat started filling with water and started sinking. And the disciples are freaking out. They're saying, well, what are we going to do? And they turn around and here's Jesus asleep in the back of the boat. And they said, Lord, like we're sinking here, man. Don't you care? What's wrong with you? That's my version of it. But that's basically what they're saying. What the heck? He's like, where's my gravel, Todd? You guys don't know what I'm talking about, but if you've seen that sign, praise the Lord. I'm using that instead of what the heck from now on. You know what I'm saying? But they're like, what's going on here? Praise the Lord. Just drive to Sherman. You'll see what I'm talking about. What's going on here? What's happening? What's happening? You're just sleeping. What's wrong with you? And he's like, he's like, first of all, you forget who I am. I'm Jesus, Son of God. I am God. And I said, we're going to the other side, right? He said, you have little faith. What? When God says we're going to the other side, it means we're going to the other side. Doesn't look matter what the storm was. He got up and he said, peace be still. And guess what happened? Peace, and it was still. And they all marveled. They're like, wow, this God stuff works. Woo! Glory. And he called them people of little faith. Why? Because they didn't trust him. But see, the thing, the storms come in life because the devil's trying to rob something on the other side. And see, on the other side, they were going to meet this man that we're about to see here in Mark 5. They were going to meet this man who was bound, and it scared the whole town because of his bondage. Let's just get into it. Mark 5, 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When I was a teenager, I was starting to experience things that didn't seem godly. When I was a teenager, I started experiencing voices that would come to my head. I started experiencing presence that I couldn't explain. I started going down a path of darkness, deeper and deeper and deeper, and I started cutting myself. I started cutting myself because there was something about dragging a knife across my arm that felt better than the pain, if you can imagine that. This is the life I lived. And sometimes, one time I got particularly angry, and I was so frustrated and so upset that I went into my room and I took a survival knife out and I was cutting my arm and cutting it. And one time I took a cut just a little too deep. And I came out and I was horrified, and there was blood pouring out of my arm. I'm not trying to be graphic, but this is just the truth. There was blood pouring, and I got taken to the hospital. But see, you know, my parents didn't necessarily know how to deal. It's not that they were bad. They just didn't know how. They weren't taught how to deal with this. Listen, my mom sits here with you today. I have the most amazing mother. The only one who even compares is my wife. And I say this in respect of that I'm not putting her even above my wife. My wife is an amazing mother. But you understand. But what I'm saying is that there's no. I've never ever experienced mothers like these two. My mom was me. She loved me with all her heart. She loved me with everything that was in her. She would do anything to take the pain away, but she couldn't. Why? Because the pain wasn't something that she could stop, just naturally speaking. She needed this. She needed this knowledge, this wisdom of God. She needed the power of God. Well, praise the Lord, we got it today, don't we? Yes. Hallelujah. So anyways, always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. See, the devil don't like the anointed of God. Hallelujah. They don't like when God's present. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. You see, it wasn't the man that was speaking. It was what was in him that was. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Jesus wasn't going to deal with nothing. Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there in the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about, 2,000. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. See, the thing about the devil is the devil is the one. He wants to cause death in humanity. And that's why he does it, because he hates humans. Why? Because we're made in the likeness and image of God. So those who fed the swine fled. And they told it in the city, in the country, and they went out to the sea to see what was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had the demon had been demon possessed. They saw the man who was demon possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Praise God, hallelujah! And they were afraid. See, sometimes it's afraid to come to see when you see the power of God. Sometimes it's a fearful thing. Why? Because we're not used to it. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. We've never seen that happen in church before, have we? Praise the Lord. Because see, people, they don't know how to deal with this sometimes. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged Jesus, begged him that he might be with him. "Let me go with you." See, this is exactly what it's like. If you know somebody who's a Christian and you don't understand why they do what they do, this is why they do what they do. This is why they run. This is why they want to. It's not serving a man. It's not serving a church, but it's serving God. They are so thankful for being set free that all they want is what he's got. Praise the Lord. And that's all they want for you too. Praise God. Hallelujah. However, Jesus did not permit him. That mean Jesus? Well, look at what he was doing. He said, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And the man departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. This is why God wants us to share our testimonies. This is why we are not to be afraid of what God has done. You know, listen, it doesn't always make sense. It doesn't always make sense what has happened, and people aren't always going to understand. They're not going to understand everything we do in our churches and why, until they get to experience, until they get in there, until they get to be part of it. They're not always going to understand it, but it doesn't matter, because it's still the truth. It's still the power of God. But see, where people lose it, where Christians lose it, is when they stop living their lives right, and they start compromising and start being just like the rest of the world. And then people say, "See, why do I want that?" And that's why it always happens. I've done that. I've been in that position where I got on fire for God and then walked away from God again. But God was still willing to call me back. God will give you power you never had. He will give you wisdom you never had. He will give you ability you never had. And he will give you favor on earth like you have never had. Some testimonies are in the process. If yours is in the process, then be built up and be excited about it. You know, one thing I know, this has happened to at least several people who have given me testimonies. The devil doesn't like that you got a testimony. And so what happened, even in this last week, I have several accounts of people that they had given us a testimony, and then something crazy has happened in their life in the past week to try to rob it. And I say to them the same thing. I said, even if you quit today, the devil can't take the fact that you had a testimony for X amount of time. Even if I quit today, even if I just gave it all in today, there is no way to humanly explain the last 12 years of my life. You can't do it. So the testimony, the trick is on the devil, because the testimony is still there, glory to God. Just like this, it's written in the book, praise the Lord, it's there already, glory to God. And I'm going on, I'm going to tell you, I ain't going to let him have my testimony. I'm going to have more testimonies. In fact, I'm not okay with just having, we're reading 9. Someday we're going to have services where we can't have enough services in one day to read all the testimonies. But remember, it's connected to how we connect. And each of these testimonies I'm going to read are all people who connected. Now, what I mean by this is these people who do their best, everything, they're not perfect. By no means are they perfect. By no means are they exalted above any other man. But the one thing that they do, the one thing that they have all in common, is they connected to the power and the place of God. And they said, "I'm going on with God. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to give it everything I've got." Praise the Lord. First testimony I'm going to read today is Tammy Rosin's. Praise the Lord. Sister, can you just raise your hand so we know we're real? Praise the Lord. Yeah, Tammy Rosin. We love Tammy. Mike and Tammy, they're very precious to us. They came in on the first day. They didn't know us, and they didn't stop coming back. Praise God. Praise God. So we got to keep doing the right thing just to keep them in, right? Praise the Lord. Tammy Rosin's testimony. I've been going to family. Now, what we did was we may have edited a little bit like a typo or something like that, but we didn't. For the most part, these are what they wrote to us. Or shorten it just a little bit, just for time's sake and stuff. But this is exactly what has been written to us. I've been going to Family Church Mayville since day one in the Chautauqua Suites. We happened to have been considering going to a church, but hadn't decided on where. Opening the Chautauqua Star, we saw an advertisement for a new church in Mayville and decided we'd try it. We've been faithfully coming ever since. I really began listening to what pastors were preaching, and I decided to be a doer of the word. I thought, what could it hurt? My home was in need of some major repairs I could not afford, including a whole new roof. And going forward, also, I'll just throw this in there. Oh, isn't there windows and doors and stuff like that is included in siding? Yep, so a whole bunch of things. We know if you have a home, is expensive. A whole new roof. I found out about and applied for a federal grant for homeowners like me and was told 63 homeowners in my area applied, but they only had funds for 9. So I was put on a waiting list. During this time, I just kept praying, thanking, and praising God for meeting all my needs. The Lord brought me to a new job with more supply and closer to home. So she got a better paying job. She had favor there. Got better paying job and got closer to home. My broken down vehicle was now a new wonderful car. God didn't transform it to another car, but God was able to move her into a new car. Praise the Lord. My bills that were always behind were now paid in full, even ahead of schedule. But that's not all. After 3 years, I got a phone call, but not just a phone call. I got the grant. All of the repairs will be covered in full. Praise God. And yes, I am a regular tither. One of the testimonies I loved about Tammy early on is one of the things that she told us early on. She's like, I heard it, and I started doing it, and it changed my life. She was a person who was not financially in a wonderful position, necessarily able to do all that she was hearing in naturally speaking, but she decided to put the word first and do the word, and it changed her life. Now, this is all about money either, but that was hers. The reason we gave hers first is because she was here first. Praise the Lord. Yeah, she's on day one, so you can't get much better than day one, right? Praise God. Since May 2014. This is number two. This is Liz, John, and Hayden's. What's that? Liz isn't serving in nursery. Liz is a faithful, faithful, faithful woman of God. When she came to this church, well, we're going to see it here. I don't want to get ahead. I could tell the stories, but better to hear it from their own testimony. 5 years ago, we were very different people, smokers and drinkers, always fleeing away from an argument and heading toward going our own separate ways. We were living a life apart from God. Hayden, our youngest daughter, was struggling, but we were so focused on us. I told you this is going to happen. We were so focused on us that we could not see how much she was being swallowed up by the world. The both of us had full-time jobs, but every day I was called to the school because of an outburst. In middle school, she struggled with anxiety and depression. We didn't know who God is and what Jesus actually did for us. So we lived in the way that we just felt right, that just felt right. If everyone else is doing it, then that must be the way. We let her talk to random people on the internet, people we didn't even know, because if she was happy, that was all that mattered. In her third year of middle school, she spent most of her year in detentions or suspensions, and John and I were ready to go our separate ways. I wanted to know what happened to my little girl. Lost and self-harming, we could not leave our house. She was abusive and destructive. Did I want to just give up? No. I wanted to know where I went wrong. She then reached out to the school counselors, which led to mental health counselors and a mobile unit that came to the house, a psychiatrist. She was on many medications and was admitted into the mental hospital many times. Pastor Jeff and Pastor Renee, before they were pastors, lived across the street for many years. We had known they were churchgoers because they would get all dressed up and leave every Sunday and Wednesday. Strange to us, they would go twice a week. Not so strange anymore. At the time, they were teaching my 18-year-old to drive, and my daughter shared with us that they were going to be pastors in Mayville, where I visited my father every Sunday anyways. One day, Hayden had one of her outbursts, and I was just drained. Pastor Renee went and talked with Hayden and later said to me, "Why don't you just come to church? God has good things for your family." My reply was, "How can I leave her? She's explosive." And Pastor Renee's answer was, "God is going to do more for you at church than you will ever do on your own." Praise the Lord. I had a hard time believing that. But could I possibly leave her and her dad alone and drive half an hour away and even think everything was going to be okay? It was. I started going by myself. It wasn't easy, but the way our family was headed, I wanted to have a different outcome. I started going to church. I accepted Jesus to be Lord of my life, knowing that he is now living on the inside of me. Now remember, pastors lived across the street and we didn't smoke in the house. I could no longer find myself smoking a cigarette on my front porch when they were home. Now, you know, mind you, we don't ever look at anybody. You know, it wasn't like we're like, "Oh, look, they're smoking again." Hey, I mean, I've been that life too. I mean, let the Lord bring it out of you. That's, you know, praise God if that's what needs to happen. But there was just something on the inside of her, right? Then it would be when they drove by, I would just drop the cigarette. So I said, "I can't do this anymore. I'm not hiding from God. So why am I trying to hide from my pastors?" So that was the day I stopped smoking and never picked one up again. Glory to God. After faithfully going to church, learning how to talk to God and pray for my family, things were changing even when I didn't see it. Hayden still had some episodes and ended up at Jones Hill once again, but I was hungry for the Word and knew it didn't have to be this way. John and I learned that the strife in the relationship we had together contributed to what Hayden was going through. This was a year after John hooked up to Family Church Mayville and the power of God moved in our home. We knew this was going to be her last hospitalization, and when we picked her up, her father told her that there would be no more outbursts in our home or toward your mother, and she was going to start going to church regularly because that is what we do now. Did she like it at first? Absolutely not. She rebelled against it. It had been many, many years of mom and dad doing what they want and Hayden doing what she wanted, but now it's God's way. Praise the Lord. And we love our sister Hayden. I'm just going to say, there was a day I remember. Do you mind if I share this? Praise God. Well, there was a day one day when all this stuff was still kind of going on and we were still living across the street from them. And Hayden was particularly mad at us and fired up about something. And she yelled out the window, "An expletive you and an expletive God." Praise the Lord. But you know something? We don't, because she's not, that's not Hayden anymore. That wasn't Hayden then. You see, people, we have to understand that people aren't always controlled by their own emotions. The Bible says that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. We fight against something else spiritually. But see, if we don't know that, how can we win? And see, that's why, and if you're sitting here today and you're like, "Well, you know, what's the difference? Why can't I do it?" You can't do it on your own. God knew we couldn't do it on our own. You never could do it on your own. But when you connect to God, praise the Lord. We had one more incident happen before church on a Sunday, but mind you, it happened outside of our home. Police were called, and we had to go to WCA, same as before. But this time, from the beginning to the end, it lasted 45 minutes, which was unheard of because it always took 2 to 5 hours that we were there. Hayden was released, and by the time the church service was over, but with a phone call, we asked pastors if they could wait for us to meet with us, and they did. John went fishing that afternoon, and when he came home, as a new creation, and said he confessed over his last cigarette that he was done and free from this addiction in the name of Jesus. It has been 2 years in July. Praise God. We now have that 14 years of living that we know that for the 14 years of living the way we did, things weren't going to be undone immediately. And that's the truth. You can't expect it to change overnight. I'm saying that. We also know that staying hungry, being in the Word every day, and having a pastor is important for the body of Christ. If we took our eyes off of Jesus, we would not see the fruit in our lives that we have. Hayden is now an honor roll student and is 2 weeks away from being off all the medication that doctors said she would be on for the rest of her life. Praise God. We serve, what's that? Today's the last day, hallelujah. We serve wherever and whenever we are needed. Whatever it takes, God always comes first above all. Since being born again and getting planted in this local church, the Lord has brought me to an amazing new job with Increase. After 20 years, we will own our home. And the best news is John and I will be married this year. God is so good. I am so grateful. I can't finish it. Just says she's grateful. I want to tell you something. For years, we wanted to reach this family, and we would stand across the street. When we come up, we would pull up home, and we would come in, and we would say, they're going to serve God one day. They're going to serve the Lord one day. And we would confess that over them. Every time we thought about it, we kept confessing over them. And today, they're some of the most faithful people in this church. Now, you have to understand something. You know, we're not giving glory to the church, and we're certainly not giving glory to me. But you understand that there are, as a pastor, my wife is a pastor, but you have to understand that God has designed things to work a certain way. He has designed our blessing and our connection to flow through his church, which is connected to his body, and through a pastor. That's the way he's designed it. Why did God design it? I can't do anything of my own. I didn't save any of these people. I didn't help any of these people. All I did was follow the plan of God. All I did was follow the plan of God. That's the only difference. Because me, before I was more worthless than you even could imagine being. July 2014. This is our third testimony. Josh's testimony. Can you raise your hand, Josh? Josh, raise your hand. Not that I'm pointing anybody out, but that is Josh. Is there anyone here that disagrees that that is Josh? Praise the Lord. I was brought up by two loving parents that tried to raise me the best they knew how. I grew up going to a church for a short time, but I did not know who God really was or what Jesus had done for me. I grew up thinking I was a good enough person because I had known of God. I didn't really live any different from the world, and I thought that was okay. As I grew older, I had found someone I thought I could settle down with. I had heard that you shouldn't have sex before marriage. I was taught that. I had heard you shouldn't live together before marriage. I was taught that also. More devout Christians did that, but I was not one of them. I thought it was good enough that I planned to marry her down the road. We had discussed what we wanted our lives to look like, and we were all set to be married. I had thought our life was set. We had started our lives, and we were good to go. But things didn't stay that way for long, and instead went downhill fast. Over the course of our short marriage, we had moved from place to place for a total of more than 5 times. We never settled down and instead grew apart. At times, the wife would leave for weeks and months at a time for her job. The foundations we had previously agreed on were no longer valid. I saw the future I once hoped for drift away to a dream that wouldn't manifest. As the marriage fell apart, we decided to separate. I knew I needed to find a good church and that I needed to see who God was for myself. While all this was going on, I was being drawn back to Chautauqua County, back to where I grew up. I moved home thinking she would come back and want to make the marriage work. So I waited. While waiting, I was drawn to find some old friends of mine to catch up. I knew they would listen to me and help me through the season. Bob and Chris Calhoun just happened to invite me to church during our first reunion together. I didn't know anything about it, but decided I'd give it a try since I didn't have anything else to lose. I went and listened to the minister. I knew something was different about this church. Towards the end of the marriage, I had tried to find a church, but I wasn't faithful, nor had I found one that seemed right. But coming to Family Church Mayville seemed right. The people were sincere and hungry for God. After that initial service, my separated wife did what I thought was the worst thing possible. I had found out that she was unfaithful to me for about a month before we separated. I fell lower, and I thought I could go. I thought I could go that week. Bob and Chris had invited me back to family church that previous Sunday, and I decided I needed to go. I knew I needed help. I went back that following Sunday to hear the word, and afterwards poured out my sorrows to the young pastor. He gave me advice, and I decided that day that I needed to follow it. I did, and it changed my life. Since that first service, I have rededicated my life to the Lord. I have followed amazing pastors that have helped guide me and teach me God's glorious word. I have been able to see who God is and what Jesus has done for me. The first year of healing was hard, but I found a new love in Jesus Christ. Looking back and comparing the past to the present and future, I am also blessed with all God has done for me. With what God has done for me. I had a local business hire me out of the blue. I wasn't looking for a job at the time, but they had persuaded me. 3 months after I was officially divorced, I found a godly woman. After an interesting start, we started spending time together, and I quickly realized she would be the one to marry. We were married after less than a year of our introduction. God has restored to me the things I didn't think I would ever have in my life. We now have a beautiful baby girl. I had given up on the idea of ever being a father, and God has restored that for me. Happy Father's Day, Josh. The pregnancy and birth were light and easy. We have also been blessed with a new car and a home. God has answered my prayers. He has quickened things in my life and blessed me beyond measure. He has truly redeemed my time. I know that without my pastor, without my local church, these things would not have happened as they have. I found out God's way, that God's way was the right way. I have learned I can't do this on my own. His yoke is light and easy. Praise the Lord. Now, as a result of Josh coming in, we get to our next testimony of his mother, Cindy. Cindy came to us in October 2014. Back in the fall of 2014, my son Josh had invited me to a new church he had been going to. He had been invited to Family Church Mayville. Now, you understand this. Each one of these people, and I have to throw this out there, each one of these people wrote this on their own accord. So you see, they're talking about their church, they're talking about their pastor, but we didn't instruct them, you know, talk up your church or talk up your pastor. It is not about Family Church Mayville. It is about the connection that God has made. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I got to get reading faster. Wow. Back in the fall of 2014, my son Josh had invited me to a new church he had been going to. He had been invited to Family Church Mayville by one of his friends. I've been coming to Family Church Mayville since that day. I had been dealing with symptoms in my body when I came to Family Church Mayville, but the first diagnoses of cancer came shortly after. I was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. But I believe my healing started from the day in early June 2015 when my pastors laid hands on me and prayed over me. As directed by my doctors, I had 5.5 weeks of chemotherapy and radiation to try to shrink the tumor before surgery. Shortly after this, I had a surgery to remove the tumor and blockage. My doctor told me it was the biggest, most giant tumor he had ever seen or removed. The doctor said it was a miracle that I had survived. As doctors do, the doctors have been checking up on me since. Just this past February, my chemo doctor, who had been watching spots on my lung, reported that they had enlarged and sent me to a lung specialist for a lung biopsy. Both doctors were convinced it was cancer. My doctors didn't think I was going to survive this and told me I was on borrowed time. On March 24th, 2017, during a Friday night service, Pastor Jeff and Pastor Renee laid hands on me and prayed over me again. Of course, healing happened. When the lung doctor did the lung biopsy on March 31st, 1 week later, he couldn't get a big enough sample of the spot for a good sample to test because it had shrunk too much. Of course, I knew why, but the doctor still told me the cancer had spread to my lung. I told them I was healed, and cells came back, not cancerous. In May, I just had my final surgery to complete the healing process. My doctor, who was the one who removed the original tumor, said that after seeing the inside of me during this last surgery, the cancer is all gone. He said, but we already knew that, didn't we? Praise the Lord. I really believe that if my son Josh hadn't found this wonderful church and led me here, that I would have died from the cancer. My pastors have taught me to hang on to my faith no matter what the devil tried to do. I have, and he can't have it. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to say something again. I'm going to throw this out there. Why do some people get healed? And God's will is that all people are healed. But God cannot work in people that do not connect to him. He can't. He just can't do it. It's out of the scripture tells us, everything we know about God tells us that he can't. And there's lots of reasons for that. I can't teach them all here today. But it's just the word of God. Amen. Number 5, August 2016. This is Cody's testimony. All testimonies mean something to me. This is one of the most amazing ones because of how often what we're about to talk about doesn't change. At the age of 14, I'd been dabbling in alcohol and marijuana. Around the age of 16, I went back to the doctors and told them I had a lower back problem, so they started prescribing me Vicodin. Shortly after, before finding out that there was a thing called withdrawal, I wondered why anytime I didn't have it, I was getting sick. Then some friends told me that it was withdrawal and that I needed more opiates in order to feel better. So I was basically stuck in opiate addiction from the age of 16. Then it progressed even worse into Oxycontin and other drugs that were similar. I also was using cocaine on occasion. I told myself I would never use heroin or a needle, but unfortunately this addiction continues to drag you under, and you need more and more just to get high, and you'll do anything in order to do it. I tried heroin once snorting it up my nose, and that's where things really got bad, because I just discovered a drug that was 1/10 the cost and 10 times the high. As soon as I discovered that shooting it up would give you 50 times higher, would get you 50 times higher, that's where real rock bottom hit for the first time. For those of you who don't know what shooting up is, it means injecting it into a vein by using insulin needles. Once I started shooting up and had good connections in bigger cities, I was going to Erie once or twice a day just to get high, spending a minimum of $100 a day. See, this is why just partying is this is the same thing I dealt with in my life. Why it's so dangerous, because these are the doors that it opens. Spending a minimum of $100 a day. This progressed until I was about 23 years old, and I started getting a little better. Got clean, or at least what I thought was clean, until I discovered a new drug. This new drug was methamphetamine, a drug that would keep you up for weeks on end and make you feel like you were king of the world who could do anything. After a few years of doing this drug, at about 26 years old, I was arrested for possessions of hypodermic needles and intent to sell. After this, I went to rehab for 16 days. My sister had mentioned that she had talked to this pastor of Family Church Mayville, Pastor Jeff, and shortly after rehab, I stopped into Family Church Mayville, saw Pastor Jeff, and sat and talked with him for what seemed like a long time about everything that I had been going through. All I knew was that something had to be better than what I was doing, because I wasn't going anywhere fast, if anywhere at all, except jail or 6 feet under. Once I started going to this church, I hit the ground running. I enjoyed my pastor so much and appreciate everything they've done for me. Ever since I started going to this church, nothing but good things have been happening. My dad always told me good things happen to good people, but I never really believed it, because the things I was involved with, there was never anything good about it. See, before church, I spent 10 years on one drug or another, either trying or getting better from the bad ones, or just wanting to do the bad ones more. But the only thing that has kept me 100% sober is this church and God. Nothing any therapist could say or do would make me get any better. The one and only thing that's done it is the Word of God and all the truth that comes with it. Notice, that's the truth. See, a church is nothing except for what they preach or what they teach. And so when we teach the Word of God, that's where the power is. It isn't anything we do at all. You know, and here's another example. I've gotten to know Cody's parents. We haven't like spent tons and tons of time together, but one thing you could see instantly, when I first met Cody's dad, one of the things that I noticed instantly about him was the love of a father. You could see that. You could see how much he loved his son. And his mother, too. You could see how much they loved their son. Now, you know, and that's the thing, is that, like I was saying with my mom, listen, it's not all our fault, and we can't change it all. There's only one thing that can change, and that's the power of God. Praise the Lord. I also appreciate my parents, my sister, my aunt, and all the other family members that have continued to love me and support my path with the Lord and to change my life. Praise the Lord. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Cody serves in the church. He's faithful. What he hasn't shared with you is he's increased. He's got a full-time job now in town. He didn't think he'd ever be able to work in again. Why? Because God blesses him. He's actually able to do something with his life. He was able to afford his own car, able to do other, praise God. Because God works with people, amen? Becky's testimony. This is another very amazing testimony, praise the Lord. Praise God. There they are back there. I have been trying to figure out how to put my words in testimony. My life has been changed so much since the day I walked into this church. I had a life that felt like no hope. I didn't believe that I deserved a life at all. I was going down a road of nothing. I had spent many years trying to destroy my life, and I was depressed, feeling that I didn't deserve anything. My mind was self-destructive. I had years of medicine and doctors. I was either a crazed person who didn't care what happened to me. Many times I just wanted to die and tried several times. Or I was a walking zombie who was on so much medicine that I had no emotion and couldn't do anything. I was doing good if I got dressed. My life was filled with I don't care about myself or anything, but I was always searching for something, trying to understand things. I was simply put a mess. Last year in August, I went to family church because someone I cared about and invited me, Trisha. She was telling me about Cody and how she went just to support him, but then she got a surprise and she was now going herself. So I decided to go, and she got that $100. So I decided, just kidding. So I decided to go, and my life began. And I knew that there was hope for me. I found a new family. I found God and love. I'm crying as I write this because I am a new person. My life has changed so much that everybody in my household can see the change. I prayed for my husband to join me in church, and I just kept believing in faith that he would join me. I always kept a seat for him next to me when I came to service. You know, and something else I'll just say about this too is she always said, I'm sitting here because I think this is where he'd like to sit. Yeah, absolutely. That's faith. Praise the Lord. I always kept a seat next to him next to me when I came to service. Now my husband has joined me in church. I kept believing he would, and he has. This year we are blessed with the most precious gift. Our granddaughter, little Gemma, was born. She was born addicted to heroin. We spent 3 weeks in Buffalo at Women's and Children's Hospital. Pastor Jeff came to the hospital and prayed over her, and at 3 weeks old, I brought her home with me. It had been 22 years since I had a newborn around, and Gemma had withdrawals, something I had never been around. Through prayer and faith, Gemma is healthy and growing and is an apple of our eyes. A year ago, I wouldn't have been able to do all this, but with God, I am. So many things have been taught since the first step. How do I put it into words? I know I couldn't do a year ago what I'm able to do today. With God and learning about the truth of God's word, I have been able to stop taking bottles of medicine. I have given up pain medication, for the Lord has healed me. And when I feel a little pain, I just keep pushing forward. It will pass. I am far from perfect, but I keep trying and studying God's word. And know I belong in church, for I get fed the truth and learn every time I come inside. Family Church Mayville is a wonderful place to be. How blessed I am to have pastors who preach the truth, pastors who truly care about their sheep. I have found a family. There's so much that has changed in my life since I've asked for forgiveness. I am a new person. And now Denny is a changed man, and he is in church every week. God is so good. Praise the Lord. Now we have Denny's testimony. Many things have changed for me since attending church. I have gained a newfound happiness and peace in life. I once considered myself happy in everyday life. Now I know what happiness really is. I enjoy giving instead of receiving, both my personal and business life. I have a new type of love toward my wife, Becky, and our children. I've gotten a better understanding of things. I'm becoming spiritually guided and living by the word of God. I have gained a new family that of the family church and all that attend. Everyone in church has touched my life in one way or another for the good, and I know all I would have to do if I need help is to ask, and someone would be there to help me or my family, and that gives me a sense of security. I haven't had what Becky calls devil water, a drink in 2 months. Not that I had a drinking problem, but because I don't need it to make myself happy and realize that drinking alcohol was a false sense of happiness. I thank the Lord every day and praise him for all he has done. For I know he walks with me, directs me, and helps me fight the devil when things are tough, and I am being provoked by the evil. My life has changed for the good, and people have taken notice. I thank you all, and God bless. Praise the Lord. This is another really awesome one. This is John Veros's I haven't had everybody raise their hand, but John's back there. There's his hand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was diagnosed with prostate cancer and given the different options of treatment. I chose the one that included driving 100 miles to and from the cancer center, so I had a lot of time to think. My wife and I had been looking for a church. I told her of a church not far from our home. And one Sunday, I thought we were going there, but she drove right past it. When I asked her to turn around, she said a friend told her about a new church, and she drove me to Family Church Mayville. The message was good, but what really got stuck in my craw was the pastor saying, "Some people wait till they are sick and dying before coming to church." Well, I didn't come because of the cancer. I came because I was brought against my will by my wonderful wife, Janine. Hey, truth is the truth, right? One day on a return trip from the cancer center, I drove by Family Church Mayville and saw Pastor Jeff's truck, so I stopped in and told him what I was going through. He gave me two different CD sermons to listen to while I drove back and forth to the center every Monday through Friday. I'd listen to one by Kenneth E. Hagin and one by Pastor Jeff each time, one on the way and one the other on the way back. When the weekend arrived, I looked forward to Sunday church. One Sunday night, Pastor Jeff called me up, and he and Pastor Renee laid hands on me and prayed over me for healing. It was 8:45 p.m., the 11th of December, 2016, right here at Family Church Mayville, and I thank Jesus. You think that doesn't matter, but it does, because it was, praise the Lord, I'll just keep reading. My routine became listening to my two favorite CDs, and every time I thought about it, I would say, "Thank you, Jesus, for healing my cancer at 8:45, Sunday, the 11th. Of December at Family Church Mayville. When I was in the radiation machine for the 5 to 10 minutes it would take, I would say this. Daily, I spoke to other patients who would ask if I had side effects like the ones they had, pains, aches, sleepy, tired, dizzy, etc. I would say no. The doctor said if I hadn't experienced side effects yet, I probably wouldn't now. I didn't. After my last treatment, I had an appointment at the Erie VA for some tests. When I returned for the results, the doctor told me my blood work looked really good and so did my PSA numbers. The test indicated prostate cancer, the higher the level, the worse it is. When I was sent for treatment, my levels were 5.86 and now they have dropped to 0.02. My next visit to the doctor was over a month away. Though my levels had been so small, the doctor still wanted a current PSA. Test. To stay in faith and rebuke doubt, I often thank Jesus for my healing for healing my cancer at 8:45 on the 11th of December at Family Church Mayville. Over a month later, I went to see the doctor to find out whether I would need shots every 6 months or yearly, but I was told my PSA numbers had changed and the doctor would explain. Directed to the room number 6, I waited for the doctor as doubt tried to tell me that my PSA numbers were up. I thanked the Lord for my healing. The doctors came in, poked and prodded, asking questions. Then the doctor told me that the PSA number was now 0.002. He said that he had seen a level as small as 0.01, but never had he seen them have to magnify it so much to find such a minute trace. Ha ha, devil. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me of cancer on Sunday at 8:45 p.m., the 11th of December, at my family church, Mayville. Amen. Praise the Lord. And what you have to know about this is part of what we do is we teach people how to stay in faith. And that's part of why it works, because just hearing the word or just getting hands laid on you isn't enough, but you have to stay in faith, something that our sister Cindy and something our brother John have done, and that's why they've seen probably the most horrible of all the diseases. They've seen it eradicated. And then you understand this too, that the Lord works with doctors. He works with things. He doesn't necessarily work separately sometimes. Sometimes things are healed instantly. But it just depends on, and there's a lot to do with that too, but that's a whole nother sermon. We got one more and I want to read it. I know we're going to go a little bit over here, but just bear with me. There's ice cream coming. Praise the Lord. Number 9, Billy and Sarah's testimony. Hallelujah. And this is written from Sarah's point of view, glory. So we're excited about this one as well. We're excited about them all. Of course, you know, I never say that, but as I look at each one of them, I'm just like, this is just amazing, you know. I will never forget the morning my prayers were answered and my life changed. I was sick with the flu the prior few weeks when Billy suggested going to church. I wanted to go, but was still on the mend. But in all honesty, I felt we were past that in attempting to save our marriage. I didn't want to walk into church and slap God in the face with a broken marriage that was hanging by a frayed thread. I didn't want the people to see just how broken and hurt we both were. I more than felt, I believed, as if I wore all the lies, all the deceit, all the damage on my skin. Our happy life was now my worst nightmare and my most painful experience to date. I went to bed that night with my mind made up that I wasn't going to go, even though I told him I would consider it. I woke up that Sunday morning with a voice in my head. The sun was shining through our bedroom window, bedroom skylight after a rainy week. I remember trying to ignore it and ignore it waking me, but couldn't help but enjoy the warm sunbeams. In my mind, I saw a sight I knew so well from my summer morning bike rides, the Chautauqua Lake water glistening. From my vision, it was as if I was standing across from Lakeside Park in Mayville. A voice from within kept urging me to get up and go to this church, a church I would honestly have never considered. I didn't know anyone there, which was maybe a good thing. I told Billy we would go there, and even though he made plans for us to go with our older neighbors, we got dressed and we went. From the parking lot, we were first greeted by the man who married us. We absolutely said aloud, "What are the odds?" And not in a good way. I think we could have died inside seeing this joyful man who orchestrated our marriage vows, knowing in the state that we were in. We walked in, and I remember how difficult it was for me to force my head off the ground and wear a friendly half smile. I immediately recognized some familiar faces of Mayville as the dread rolled over me. It was fight or flight in my head as it raced with thoughts of what they knew or had heard of our situation. I saw an old friend from college who I used to be very close to. She was married and holding a beautiful, smiling baby. It stabbed my heart as a painful reminder to think that that would never be us. We took our seats, and I again quietly begged in my mind for God to help me, to give me a sign. Then he delivered. He delivered an answer in the form of our minister. He told us a story of how his past life that involved two painful memories that were strikingly similar to Billy. Things he had not only done but was continuing to battle with: depression, alcohol abuse, gambling, pornography, suicide attempts, a police search, and a stay at Jones Hill. It was literally an oh my God moment. He painted the picture of a life paved for death, and we knew it well. Tears streamed down my face, and then, as hard as I resisted to hold it in, I let the floodgates open in a room full of strangers. I wanted to literally run away, but I knew this message was meant for us. Not only did his story outline a road of death, of sin, but of hope for a better life. He was the poster child of God's power in redirecting a life so far off the path. I failed to mention that so many of my prayers were for my husband. To find an example of hope in a person who struggled with situations, illnesses such as his, to show him that they came out of the other side of it all, not only came out the other side alive, but fixed, happy, and living as a better and more fulfilled person. I remember that Pastor Jeff said, "I don't know why I got off on all that, but God told me it was meant for someone here." Yes, it was. Praise the Lord. I received his message that morning, man, oh man, loud and clear, but it wasn't until Wednesday that I felt the change. I was sitting at my desk shifting papers when I stopped. It was quiet. What I meant was, it was quiet and calm inside me. Something I haven't felt in many months. It was as if the waters were calm and that darting sense of intense fight or flight had vanished. And I mean, I couldn't find it nor feel it anywhere. Trust me, this was a daily torture that turned me inside out, and somehow it disappeared. Not only that, but I felt reassured that everything was going to be okay, that I didn't have to go anymore. I could stay and we could be happy. Not only had I noticed a change, but it was as if Billy woke up. The pain and heaviness he wore was gone, and he physically looked and acted more awake. He started communicating and opened up to me that week. something he would rarely, very rarely do. He talked about his childhood past when he himself, felt himself changing, his acknowledgement of needing help, and what really happened those few months back. Through him opening up, I felt as if I was learning to love my husband again, a man who had become a stranger to me in the past few years. It was a breath of fresh air. To paint it more clearly, it breathed life in something that we both thought was dead. He talked about how he didn't feel the pull of his addictions anymore or the heaviness of his mental state. Each week passed, and we continued and still continue to go to this church, and the change is only in us only got better and more noticeable to others. There was no magic pill. There was no change in our there was no change in our mindset. There was only God's word, and the following his word, our prayers are continuing to be answered. I know God will use us and our story to be a testimony to others of his grace, his love, his power someday. It is not to say our marriage is perfect, because like many others, we still have days in which we struggle, but it is through God that we are still standing side by side as husband and wife. Praise God. Hallelujah. One common thread with all these people is not perfection. One common thread for all these people is getting connected to what God was doing. Praise God. You know, I have many, many scriptures that I wanted to share with you, but to close this out, but just this time not going to permit me to. But I'm just going to say, you know, the Bible says that we are fellow workers with God. We don't do this separate from God. We don't have church separate. It's not us. It's not Pastor Jeff, Pastor Renee. It's everybody working together. We are fellow workers with God to see the plan of God come to pass. But I do want to share this with you, because this is very important. John 15:5-8. And it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides, that means live, he who lives in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. And that's exactly what you see here today. That's the fruit that of someone who is connected to God. Amen? For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask, look at this, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Praise the Lord. By this, verse 8, and this is where you see the heart of God. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. The Lord is glorified when we bear fruit. That means when we look good, God looks good. When the people of God are victorious, then God is victorious. You see what I mean? God is always victorious, but you understand, this is what God has for all of us. Praise God. In God, the fullness of Christ is found. The fullness of God is found in Christ. Amen? Your life may be great and you have no problems. You may say, I'm not broken and I don't need God. But there will be a day when you will. There'll be a day when you'll face something that you can't get past. There'll be a day when you won't be able to do it on your own. And with that, I'm going to close the service. I'm going to pray first, and then we're going to close the service. So we always offer opportunity. So Father, we just thank you for this time together today, Lord. Lord, we thank you with all you've done so far. And God, we know that it's just the beginning. We know, Lord, that you have so much, so much, so much for all people, but it takes them connecting to you. It takes them hooking up to you and saying, at least at first, yes, I believe. I believe, Lord, that you can do something here. I believe so you can do something in me. I thank you, Lord, today in front of all these people that you used me, a person who was least able, a person who was least worthy, but you picked me anyways to show the world what you're willing to do. So we praise you, Lord, for that. We praise you for all that you do, all that you are. Now we're going to give an opportunity here. As I give it, I want to give you some scriptures. I'm just going to, you just keep in the attitude of prayer. Well, we're going to give an opportunity here, because we want to give this opportunity every time we have service, and we do. You may say, you know, I was, maybe I haven't lived any of that kind of life. But see, here's the thing. You can get into the graces of God. The most important thing, of course, for us is salvation, that we know when we die where we go. And when the Bible tells us in Romans 10:9 that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, if we confess with the Lord Jesus in our, with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. Now I'm going to take you down, we call it the Romans road of salvation. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." There's nobody who's perfect. There's nobody who hasn't done it. No matter how good they think they are, everybody has sinned. And we could go into great detail about that, but you always find some place. But all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that is what removed people originally from God. God wasn't removing it from them, but it removed them from him. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Then in Romans 10:9-10, like I just read to you, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And Romans 10:13 says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." God wants to help everybody. He wants to work with everybody. But the first thing that we have to do to get to that place is we have to receive the salvation that he paid for. We have to receive that doorway to him. In other words, you have to go through the door. Just like you came into church this morning, if you didn't open the door and come into the church, you wouldn't have been here to get the testimony. You wouldn't have been here to hear it. But because you're here, you can hear it. And it's the same thing with God. Unless you go through the door, Jesus told us he was the door. God told us he was the Jesus is the door. And so if we go through that door, then we have access to the Father. But if we don't, then we don't. So I'm just going to give an opportunity here. Please, everybody, bow your heads and close your eyes. Nobody's looking around. We're going to give opportunity here for anybody who would like to receive Jesus. We're not going to call you up front. This does not mean you're joining this church. All this means is that you're willing to say, you know what? I've seen what God has done. I'm willing, and I want to accept him in my life. I want to know that I can have access to that same thing. I want to know that I can be saved. I want to know that I can go to heaven. I want to know all these things. I want to know that there can be direction for me. Again, it doesn't make you perfect. It doesn't mean that you're going to have to stand here and do a dance. But what we're going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer with you. First, I'm going to have you raise your hands. I'll have you put it right back down if that's you. And then we're going to all pray a prayer together. It's that simple. So if that's you, if you've never received the Lord Jesus and you would like to today, all heads are bowed, all eyes closed, nobody's looking around, just slip up your hand real quick. Thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. It's a simple thing to do. It's the simplest thing to do. Don't gamble with eternity. We'll give you one more opportunity. Is there anyone who wants to receive Jesus today? Just throw up your hand real quick. Thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Well, we're going to give one more opportunity. Maybe you received Jesus, but you walked away from him. You know, it's not going to church that makes you a Christian, but it's following God that does. But maybe you walked away from God. Maybe you followed him at one point and then you don't anymore. But you'd like to get back into his graces. We're going to give you the same opportunity. Just lift your hand. We'll have you put it right back down. Thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Is there any other hands? Praise you, Lord. There's no other hands. Well, we had a few hands here, and I'm going to ask everybody, sound of my voice, to pray this prayer with me. And if you raise your hand, mean it with your heart, speak it out, mean it with your heart, and you'll be saved. You'll be renewed. You'll be refreshed. But here's the other thing too. If you didn't raise your hand because you're shy or whatever. But you do want to, you feel that burning on the inside, you know you want to receive, you can still pray. It's not the raising of your hand that does it. It's the prayer of faith. So everybody, just repeat it after me, and you'll be saved as well. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for Jesus. I thank you that he died for my sins so that I could be saved. Wash me, cleanse me, Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah.